104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Thursday to everybody.
Happy Thursday.
You got us for about 2 hours. I think we have to do a little bit after 3 p.m., but we're not going to try it all. We have Cardinals baseball today, a makeup game against the D-backs, right?
Yep.
4:15?
4:15, which is highly unusual.
Very weird.
But happy hour.
Yeah.
You can take advantage.
$5 hot dogs, $5 beers.
Yeah.
Whole game, Busch Stadium.
And then tomorrow night is the Jordan Walker Home Run Derby t-shirt, right?
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool they turned that around so fast.
Yeah, very nice.
Hope they have some for sale, too.
I don't want to do the show.
That's okay.
I somehow, between about 11 a.m. and 12 a.m., I gained 30 pounds. So, how about you guys?
11 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Yes. Wouldn't be like that big a feat. No, we went to lunch today at Zia's on the Hill.
Mm-hmm. Pretty great.
It was great. And then we walked across the street to Missouri Baking.
Pretty great.
And bought everything they had.
Yep. And actually, I wish we could have.
Yeah.
Because there were what do you think? We got maybe 10% sampling.
Yeah.
I wanted everything in that case.
Yeah, Wheels and I were like, we're coming back.
Yes.
And we're coming back soon.
We're going to come in heavy. We're going to come in armed with money. We're going to take it all.
Well, we bought a bunch of stuff, and then I noticed these cinnamon sticks, which were like a cinnamon twist donut, but they were hard like a churro.
So it said it was a little bit like if you ever had an elephant ear, that texture.
Yeah.
But thicker and, yeah.
So that was in a separate bag, and I pulled it out because we all drove separately, and I'm like, let's eat this right now.
Yep.
So Rach took a pull, and Kevin took a pull, and I had like 50% of it left, started walking away, carrying a couple boxes of goodies, and dropped it on the sidewalk.
So?
Yeah, no.
Just pick it up.
I figured I'd feed the birds.
They love cinnamon.
I'm sure they do. Who doesn't?
Speaking of birds, this will be funny to no one, because it wasn't even funny to you guys at the table. I'm the only one who thought it was funny. But somehow baby birds, oh,
there was a very cute baby bird.
And I didn't even turn around and look at it. And
I'm like in tears, like the cutest little bird.
He's so fuzzy. I'm like, I've seen
and
birds.
Then I go to look and make all the noise and scare it away. Like, oh, where is it?
But I said, remember when you would find a little just hatched baby bird when you're a kid? And like, you know, poke it with a stick or something, think that you're helping it. And then Wheeler said something ridiculous. What did he say? What was his term of art?
He said he's picked up plenty of.
Yes, plenty of.
Yes.
Plenty of eggs and put them
no,
back
not
in
eggs.
Nests.
Baby little birds. Guys. And put them back in their nests.
Yes.
And I said.
Oh, whole birds?
Yeah, little guys.
And I said, by plenty, you mean more than one?
Yeah.
That's crazy talk.
At least half a dozen.
Are you like Johnny Appleseed?
I don't know. I have houses. Houses have bushes and trees. There are nests in those bushes and trees. And sometimes one of those little guys jumps out. I mean,
do you know what number half a dozen is? Because it's not zero.
It's six, but that's about like 35 years of homeownership.
Yeah.
So like once every 5 or 6 years.
I'm going to back Wheels up on this. On my front porch, the little birdies will build nests every spring. And there's not like a little bird laying there all the time, but I could see that being in the equation if you're in a nest-heavy space.
Just a couple of weeks ago, I didn't end up needing to do anything for this little guy because he figured it out. But there's a nest in the bush outside our sliding glass door. And there was a mama that was taking care of this little guy. And this little guy was trying to leave the nest. He was learning to fly, fell out. He's on the ground. And I'm like, do you need help, buddy? And he just like hops away and flies a little bit. I'm like, you sure? And then he flew off. And I was like, all right, he's fine. See? I didn't have to do anything this time. But sometimes you get them and you put them in the nest and then they're fine.
Sounds like Munchausen by proxy syndrome to me. I think you're pushing the birds out of the nest so you can save them.
No.
You got a house full of baby birds that are just they're just too sick to go home.
Yeah.
No.
They have to stay with me.
No, I ain't take care of them because I don't know how. Put them back where they were.
I think you poke them with a stick.
It always works.
That's the number one source of treatment.
It's like the meme where the cartoon character's poking it and says, do something.
I think they eat like dirt or something. We'll get there.
Just sit on them.
Sit on them.
That's what their moms do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying that in South Rock Santa in the 70s, not touching a robin's egg was like a religion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because
everywhere it was like that.
Yeah. And the same thing, like if you ever saw, and I grew up in the country, so we saw a lot of this, not as much as wheels in Detroit, but like baby rabbits and stuff. They're like, don't even look at it. The mother will never look at it again.
They'll reject it. Yeah.
And I remember even back then thinking, like, let's.
He's being excommunicated from the rabbit colony or whatever.
All because of me.
He's a human now.
They're going to sew a little scarlet letter onto his
fur. They're just going to be like, nah, he smells like human.
I think I only tried to domesticate a turtle a couple of times.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Little bitey one or just the regular ones?
No, just the little box turtles.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember my dad bringing home a big snapping turtle in his trunk one time when he and his buddy had been out fishing, and it was big, and he pulled it out of his trunk, and it was holding on to a broomstick. And then they just set it in the yard and walked away. And all of his kids were just like, you know, like screwing with it. And
man.
Life in the 70s.
Those guys are dangerous, too.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Take a finger.
You don't realize how long their neck is.
Yeah.
Like those things.
Yeah.
They can reach. What a strange opening to the show.
Yeah. Turtles and birds.
Turtles.
I like turtles.
Today's National Vanilla Ice Cream Day.
I thought you were going to say Vanilla Ice Day.
And National Gorgeous Grandma Day.
Oh, you know what? It's my gorgeous grandma's birthday today.
Look at that.
Look at that. Look at the timing.
Happy birthday, Grandma.
All came together for her. Do I have to do the whole show? Can you guys add anything here? Just
no.
Man, I keep throwing stuff out.
You're our leader, Dave, so we're going to follow you.
Good, Rach.
Now I remember. I was just posting our photo that we took at Diaz on the Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
And Facebook will recommend different things to you. And it was in... here it is. It's recommending a page called AI Art Fantasy. And it's just like an AI... hot girl in a bikini. And I'm like, this is just what social media is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, hey, you know what you would like to see? Probably this.
Based on this photo.
Yeah, based on this photo of these four people sitting at a restaurant.
And if you could send me that link just whenever, whenever you have a second.
If you guys ever really looked at, like, I don't know if your phone does this, I'm sure it does, but if I'm texting someone... And I don't notice it that much, but every now and then it will give you like a suggested response.
Yeah.
And every one of them makes you sound insane. Like I've never once have I been like, oh, that'll do, click. You know, that's always like very formal and very odd.
Yeah. Yeah. There was one time, so Google will do that too with email. And one time the suggested response that they gave me for one of my emails was, what do you want me to say to this? I was like, dang, this is pretty sassy.
Right, no
this
kidding.
This is way sassier than I would be.
We're just talking about domesticating turtles. I read an article last night about how we humans, over the eons, domesticated ourselves. And the theory is, and it's backed up by some science, but the theory is that we started out pretty much as a-holes. Like, there is a really high percentage, which you can imagine. You're living on the savannah and you're
just gotta survive,
fighting over, zebra legs or what have you. And that what happened was that once we got into groups and tribes, that we would pick out the bullies and we would kill them.
Oh.
We would just kill them. Usually, like they think, usually in their sleep. Middle of the night, tribe just goes, we're killing Kevin. And that over the thousands and thousands of years that we just culled out most of the bullies. And so now bullies really stand out.
Hmm.
What do you think of that?
I mean, I'm certainly interested in it. I would love to read the study or a summary of the anthropology study on it. Because how do they know? It's not like they were writing in their journal, like,
right.
Yeah, today we took out Eric. He was such a bully, and yeah. It's been a long time coming. Like, how would they know?
Yeah, I don't know these things.
It kind of just seems like an educated guess more than anything else.
Kind of fun to think about, though.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I saw a pretty interesting... I don't like Bill O'Reilly. I know him. I'm not friends with him or knew him the way I knew Glenn Beck and Kilmeade and those guys, but he was on the station for years and we met him a few times. And but every now and then he has a good one. He did an article yesterday about how Donald Trump should take the month of August off. And he's a Trump supporter, or at least a sympathizer, but he was like, look, things are crazy, and you're kind of getting crazier, and you're 80, and you're pushing yourself too hard, you're not sleeping, you're attacking countries willy-nilly. Just, you can still do the business of the people, you can even fight the Iran war from Camp David or Mar-a-Lago. Take August off. Now, what a good idea. Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice?
Relax for August, please.
And wouldn't it be nice for us if it just weren't an everyday thing?
Yeah, of course.
Because he'd still be doing stuff.
Now, I don't know if you've checked your phone, Dave. Have you checked your phone?
No.
Kevin has put our photo from lunch. I assume this was Kevin, right?
It was me.
It was Kevin. He has put our photo from lunch through an AI simulator, I suppose.
I wanted us to look like a band.
Now, generally, I do not like the AI photos, and I would prefer to be left out of AI photos. However,
you look great.
This is the best I've ever looked. Yeah. This is probably the best Andrew's ever looked.
I'm sorry. Can we talk about me for a second?
This is crazy.
Yeah,
like unreal.
They gave you arm tattoos, dude.
They gave you an arm tattoo.
You look like Jon Snow from Game of Thrones.
Our band is called Thunder Road.
All right, this I will post this in the comments of that picture.
Kevin's not wearing a shirt.
I know. Guys, I'm just wearing like a bolo or whatever that is.
I think I got done the dirtiest.
Honestly, I didn't. I was too busy looking at Andrew.
I literally put the photo in and said, make us look like a 70s rock band. And that's what they did.
You got some pretty cool tattoos on this picture too, Dave.
Well,
and you got like
real.
Well, no, it gave you extra ones.
They opened up both of your shirts.
Yeah,
all
they
of
did.
Your shirts.
Yeah, they did. The shirts are
Everyone
open.
Everyone is showing.
But that was the 70s.
And Dave has like a dollar sign chain on.
Yes, as a rule, not really a fan of this, but I will make an exception.
I look like a gay magician from the 60s.
You do not.
Rach, you're going to be wearing this when you come back from vacation.
Dude, this is a good look for me.
You got the long, like, flower child hair banding
in
there.
Yeah, and the, like, bell-bottom corduroys, whatever's going on here.
I'm loving my jean jacket with no shirt. That's pretty great.
We got to post this one.
Jean jacket with no shirt. It's so good.
You see people post selfies, and they've ran themselves through AI, and you're like, come on, everyone knows this isn't real.
Right.
But now that it's happened to me, I'm like, okay, I see where they're coming from. I wish I looked like this.
We have it happen to us once and it looks good and we fold immediately. Like, no, I can do...
You know what? Build the data centers. I'm into it.
I can do 100 more of these in the next 2 hours.
Literally, the only prompt I gave it was that. I said, make us look like a 70s rock band.
You too.
And it clearly...
They look like a hot couple.
Like
in a band that broke up and then got back together.
We're like Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham.
They clearly decided that Rach is our lead singer.
Look at the cool watch it gave me,
Andrew,
too.
You've got a bass. I've got a guitar. Dave, you're by the drums, man.
No, I got nothing. Let's just face it. I got screwed over in this
one.
They
even gave you like the lamest shirt. I don't know why they did
it's
that.
It's a lame
you.
Shirt, but it's, I mean, like, you got guns.
A vest.
The vest is, I think, the thing that you, I think if it didn't have the vest, I think you would like it more.
I agree.
The vest is.
I mean, it made you look ripped, Dave.
Vic is saying, please post that photo. I put it in the comments of the normal photo.
Oh, you should put it. Yeah, post it.
No.
Why?
No, no, no.
What are you afraid of?
I'm not afraid. It's just I am kind of against the. Despite my current reaction.
This is the greatest, but I don't like it.
I don't really want to pepper our wall with AI photos.
Well, it's the only one we've ever done, so I don't know if it is.
Well, we have Jesus Dave. We have that one.
I'm going to ask Kevin to redo it, but this time vest and no shirt for Dave.
Okay. I'm going to do that right now.
All right. Couple more gallons of water. Who needs it?
I don't need cool water. I got arm tattoos and a fancy watch. Get out of town.
You're going to try to wish yourself into that picture.
Yeah, I'm getting like reverse body dysmorphia. It's convincing me that I really look like this.
Same. I'm like, wow, where did I get that headband? That is fetching.
Brains are connected. I was going to ask you to play this.
Really?
Because I have to learn 6 new songs that I'm singing and playing guitar on and 6 new drum songs by next Tuesday. And this is one of them. Thanks. And YouTube's so great. Like,
little tutorials for
yeah,
everything.
Yeah. I mean, drums are pretty easy for me. Like, you listen to it, you may not get it exact, but like, okay, I got it.
Get close enough, yeah.
But like, guitar is a mystery to me. Mm-hmm. But now on YouTube, you just go and there's some 12-year-old kid who's like, here's exactly how you play it.
Huh.
Like, oh, okay.
On that one, are you drum guy or are you voice guy?
On that one, I'm drum guy.
Okay.
I would love to be the voice guy. But Lou Gramm from Foreigner, Steve Perry from Journey, I can sing the first part.
Okay.
But then they always go up.
Yeah.
And it stretches me.
Yep.
And we got Dave Farber in the band.
Well, there you go.
And Dave can.
He can do it.
Kill it.
He can do it.
Yep. This is like the worst radio ever, but Kevin, we took a picture at lunch today, and Kevin is really good at AI. Like, I wouldn't have any idea how to do this, but he did 3 different looks, a 70s band, a metal band, and a grunge band.
So I went 70s, 80s, 90s.
And it's interesting because the AI keeps changing us subtly.
Yeah. So by the third picture, it's really different.
We really don't even look like, I look like myself the whole time. Andrew, you just need to make this happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Andrew's Master of Wolves picture right here.
You take this.
I had no idea I was this close to looking good.
You take these to a doctor and you say,
I want this.
I don't care what you do.
Oh my God.
Do anything you have to. I'm not leaving here till I look like this.
Well, I was telling them, I think it has something to do with like the expression you're making in the photo that AI is going like, oh, hell yeah.
He's a hottie.
Let's give this guy some arm tattoos.
This guy knows what he's doing.
For the metal one, everyone looks great. And then I'm in the back. And rather than giving me big metal hair, it gave it to me on the very back of my head.
It's all teased out.
So I look insane.
I feel like I have no choice but to post all of these in the comment section. So go check out our post on Facebook.
It made you look like you're wearing like a fur coat.
And our band is called Wild Intentions in the 80s.
I didn't notice that. Wild Intentions.
And then the grunge one. I guess our grunge band name is Seattle 1993.
Oh, man.
Oh, so funny.
The metal one, I look like someone found a really smart Bigfoot and put him in a band.
I am obsessed with the name Wild Intentions.
I think the reflection in your sunglasses and all these pictures is still the Zia's picture.
Yeah, and by the 90s I've aged like a lot.
Well, you've been in Wild Intentions for
20 years.
Yeah,
man.
You've been a rock star for 25 years.
Your drummer's a Sasquatch.
He started in the 70s and now it's the 90s. Of course, you've aged
plus,
a little.
Your bass player is the hottest guy in the world.
I, however, am de-aging as we get older. Yeah. Look at the, speaking of jawlines, look at the jawline it gave me in the 90s
Andrew
one.
It looks like he's starring in a CW
yes.
show.
Welcome back, DGS and KMOX. Happy Thursday. We are with you until 3:10-ish or so. We'll turn it over to the pregame, and the Cards play the D-backs at home at 4:15. And who's coming in town for the weekend? Reds. And then the Cubs.
Yes.
Attorney Brad Young joins us. Hello, Brad. How are you?
Dave, I'm doing well, and I'll be at the game this afternoon. Hey, so nice. I'm heading to the game. Got my Cardinals shirt on, ready to go.
What a day for it. Just gorgeous.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, beautiful. We had an outdoor lunch today, and it could have been nicer.
Mm, great day for that.
So House Republicans accuse former special counsel Smith of lying about the Trump probe and refer him for possible prosecution by the DOJ.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of politics to this, but there is a somewhat of a basis. And really the dispute here, Dave, centers on Jack Smith's December 2025 deposition. He was asked whether search warrants subpoenas for lawmakers included the contents of actual phone calls or text messages. And Smith said no. He didn't say he didn't know. He said specifically, no, they didn't contain that. But the Justice Department just released records showing that Smith's team, and that's the important part, separately received spreadsheets from the National Archives that did contain White House text messages, communications with 44 members of Congress. And so they're saying that he essentially lied in his deposition.
Yeah, you probably said this, Brad, but I was busy looking at AI pictures of myself. but it seems...
With or without clothing?
Half and half, kind of.
Okay, all right.
So it sounds even more amorphous than that, in that the actual question was, did the subpoena contain a request?
Right.
And he said, no. Which it didn't. And,
right.
You know, again, like, we're lawyers, you know, there's the technical, then there's the spirit, and there's the misleading. I mean, how's it hit you? Just in general, just the continued, because look, when Trump went after, what's his face, it looks like a Muppet that used to be the guy that was charged, what's his name? You know.
He looks like a Muppet.
Yeah, he was Trump's defense advisor, and he's got indicted, and he pled guilty.
Oh, you're talking about John Bolton.
Yeah. When he was being...
He looks like a Muppet.
I think he looks more like a... I think he looks more like a seal, go ahead.
But when he was investigated and indicted, I'm like, what a bunch of bull crap. Trump's such a piece of crap. But he was obviously good for it. So sometimes he's right.
Yeah, but here, I mean, the thing that you point out is one thing. Yes, the subpoenas did not request that information, and he actually got it a different way. And secondly... He was asked, and I reviewed the actual words and the answer that was given. He specifically was asked, do you know whether or not the subpoenas requested this information? He said no. So even if his team ultimately had that information regarding text messages or phone calls, just because his team knows it doesn't mean that he knows it,
yeah.
Number one. And then secondly, you're right, the subpoenas didn't ask that. So this is an ongoing pattern. I think we've seen it many times in the Trump administration of going after political enemies. Clearly, Jack Smith would be considered a political enemy. Yeah. And I don't really see this going anywhere. Now, the John Bolton thing, there's a whole string of national security people who either accidentally or on purpose take stuff home.
Yep.
You know, they want that for their records to show off to their friends while they're having scotch and a cigar. They take this stuff home or it's accidental. There's a whole string of that. So whenever that first started, I thought, yeah, he probably did. And it turned out he did. He pled guilty, as have many national security advisors.
Interesting. Judge to weigh New York Times subpoenas over Trump plane reporting.
Well, I think this is a big deal here, because this is your classic clash. We saw this so many times in law school. Whenever reporters know something, they report something, the government doesn't like it. I mean, one of the biggest examples goes back, again, early 70s to what's called the Pentagon Papers, where reporters, also from the Times, released information about the Vietnam War. Government didn't like it. They went after them. This is that again. And what's interesting is this. Most people think if they watch that Watergate movie, name title of which is escaping me at the moment. But if they watch a Watergate movie and they say, well, reporters don't have to disclose their sources. Well, that's not a blanket statement. I mean, that's not legally accurate. What happens is this. There has to be a balancing test. And there was a case that came down called United States versus Burke. that requires, number one, a clear and specific showing that the information is material and relevant, necessary or critical, and unavailable elsewhere. So, number one, the court's going to look at this and say, is it all that necessary or critical or relevant that we're talking about is plain because no secret information was given? Is that yes or no? I mean, that's the balancing act that the judge is going to have to make in this case.
And you know, the whole thing was he was embarrassed because he's usually a better liar, and he got caught on his heels and said that he was taking the old Air Force One home so that they could take it to a couple of bases in Europe and let the soldiers see it. Like, total lie. And they called him out. So, you know, that's the whole reason it's happening. This is not on your list, but we talked about this a couple days ago when I told the guys that it had been leaked by the Secret Service that J.D. Vance wanted Marine 2, which is his helicopter, to take his kid to soccer practice. And that it came out today that this person has been suspended pending an investigation that he's leaking stuff about the second family. And another tidbit came out that in addition to the first one, he tried to get a Marine helicopter to take his 8-year-old to a golf lesson. And his code name is Bobcat. And there were actual pictures of physical objects like challenge coins and patches that these guys had made. Basically, I survived Bobcat and his constant changing of the schedule. And so it's like a whole thing now.
Well, it is a whole thing. Now, I do remember that incident happening. And as I recall, the flight never actually happened.
Right.
Because there were, I think, thunderstorms or something.
Yeah.
And the flight didn't actually occur. But still, the problem is still there, that the vice president wanted to use an official helicopter that I know from my own experience costs like $20,000 an hour to operate, you know, to take his kid to soccer practice. That's really the issue, even though it never really happened.
Yeah. ChatGPT's advice kept man from seeking medical treatment for a dangerous condition.
Well, I think this case is interesting, Dave, because people are using ChatGPT for everything right now. And a guy in Florida used it for medical advice. And of course, it was wrong, as ChatGPT often is. And now he's suing. But where he's suing is important because he's suing in California. And in California, there are specific laws that apply to protect people. I mean, for example, under California Civil Code, it's a starting point that any service has to use reasonable care. And is it reasonable care to give wrong medical advice? Mm-hmm. Of course, the question would be, hey, and the phrase I'm going to use maybe isn't radio worthy, but they say, hey, dummy, you shouldn't be getting medical advice from ChatGPT anyway, which of course, comparative fault will be a major issue here. But it's interesting because are people going to start suing AI now if they get medical advice and it's wrong? And even should AI companies have any liability for this? Because they'll tell you literally anything if you ask them. But should there be liability? I just think that's a great topic for discussion.
So a quick question on this, Brad. So how is, at this point in time, how is using AI to search medical questions any different than using Google? From a legal standpoint, in other words, people have been self-diagnosing and looking for things online. If you're a website or a service that does not claim to be a medical provider, what is the standard that's required of a search engine?
Well, I think it's a lot different than Google wheels in this respect. I'm not talking about Google AI, but just standard Google. If you Google a set of symptoms, it's going to give you a static list of information from some website that says this means this and that means that. But when you put in a search term, I'm having these symptoms, what do I have? Then in AI, it's literally telling you, you most likely have this condition, you should do X, Y, and Z. So it changes. The fact that it's AI differs from Google is it changes from like a book that has information to someone who's telling you what to do. And I think there's a quantum difference between those two positions legally.
Just, it's a fascinating thing because the
person,
the person asking the question knows they're not asking a medical professional. They know they're not asking WebMD. They know they're not asking something that has a medical background. So then how is it the fault of the, basically the, Because what they are, they're not intelligence yet. I mean, I think we that's a very clear thing. They're search sure. engines. They're very advanced search engines that converse like they're intelligent, but they're not. And I find that whole balance, because like, if the AI companies aren't making any claims as to whether or not our service is accurate or whether or not we will stand behind these things in any way, it's just an interesting way of, to me, shifting responsibility from the human being to a business. Because the human being, if you're having problems, you see a doctor. You talk to someone. You don't just ask a machine.
Did you guys see this story? Chris Namey had a guest on talking about it today, where the AI escaped its box.
Yeah. Oh,
that's real. That's real.
That was real. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really something.
And what did they hack into? Something.
Hugging Face.
Yeah, yeah.
Hugging Face, another AI company.
Yeah.
But in this instance, though, the reason why I think we're going to see a lot more of these kinds of lawsuits is because, like right now, with the whole Cyclospora situation, and there's something called strict liability, where, you know, we talked about this the other day, where a company can be liable even if there's no negligence. And one of the things in this plaintiff's case out of California, they suing the AI on, one of the elements is strict liability. And he's trying to characterize ChatGPT as a mass distributed, defectively designed consumer product. And therefore, whether there's comparative fault or not, that ChatGPT has strict liability because of that. I mean, I don't think that's going to win, but I think we're on the cusp of a lot of lawsuits against AI in ways that we never dreamed of just a few years ago.
All right, cool, brother. Thank you, man.
My pleasure.
With you for about another hour today, we'll turn it over to baseball. Oh, should I need to send you guys a photo?
Hold on.
It's actually about a little topic. We're just talking amongst ourselves. No big deal. Nothing to see here. Boom, there you go. New product called the Heaveroo. H-E-A-V-E-R-O-O. I hope this isn't a joke, because I took it real. It seemed real. That's the first thing to...
It's real. It has a website.
Okay. And it's basically like the kind of rubber thing that you would have on your kitchen sink, like to put dishes in.
They have baby bibs like this.
But it goes around a kid's head or anyone's head, and then has a... like a sack that you throw up in while it's around your neck.
Yeah, that's too close.
Way too close.
Yeah.
Who could keep that balanced?
No,
I'd have it all over everything.
Yeah, that's not a good invention.
Well, and it's like, if you are certain enough that there's going to be throw up, it feels like we could work out a better system than that. Like, you have the presence of mind to put the Heaveroo on. You probably have the presence of mind to just go to the toilet.
Yeah, get a
waste basket.
What? How is this an advancement over just a bowl that you keep next to you? Bigger bowl, you know, you can get the proper distance away from you.
Yeah, because then you have to take it off.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
And I mean, I guess you could say, oh, it's for when the kids are riding in the car. But
sure.
Again,
same problem.
Is your kid throwing up that often? And if they do, then they have to be within 8 inches of their own sick for the rest of the car ride. That's not ideal.
Yeah, and again, that's not staying in that thing.
No.
Because you got to like look straight down like, nope.
No.
What happens when the... Well, I'm not going to get gross. I'm going to stop.
I think we got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a similar new product called Poop Shoes, but they don't say poop. They say the other word. And they're 7-inch platform shoes that take the place of like a squatty potty. Mm. And so you keep them in your bathroom. And when it's time to go, you put on your 7-inch platform shoes. And it puts you in the position
you need to
be. Yes.
Is this that big of a problem?
Evidently, we evolved squatting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get it. I mean, I've seen those commercials, but I mean, like...
Why don't you just get like a pile of books or something?
That'd work too.
Why do you have to get a special pair of shoes?
Stool, right? You have a little step stool in front of you, put your feet up on it, boom, solved.
Although you couldn't have a big stack of books in like a place where other people go.
Right.
You'd look
but are you going to bring your special poop shoes?
Yeah. I mean, is the whole family sharing the shoes?
He's walking through work. Oh, hold on. I forgot my poop shoes.
Yeah.
You just got them like slung over your shoulder.
Yeah, you exactly. You're like, I'll be right back, and you grab your shoes. Wonder where they're going.
I'll just take this heave-a-roo while I'm at it.
Actually, heave-a-roo sounds like
eating a lot of salad lately. Yeah. You guys.
Rach and I had salads today.
Yep.
So
you guys,
we may be off for the next month.
Yeah,
I like to live dangerously.
You guys made fun of me for doing that a couple weeks ago.
Well,
no, Andrew is the one who seems to have like actual anxiety about it.
Yeah, I am very, very concerned about it. Yeah, when we went to lunch, I was offered a side salad and I said, I'm not going to eat a side salad for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everybody was like, what's the obvious reasons? And I'm like,
because I don't want to mess myself.
Been reading the news a lot.
Diarrhea, parasite, disease, whatever it is.
I've been eating more salads.
I kind of have been eating a lot of salads myself.
Damn, yeah. It's the call of the void.
It is.
Yeah, no, you, we should talk, you're interested in it. You're
Dave
like,
Dave's
it.
Like, I gotta get some of this.
Dave wants it.
You're intrigued, by it, like the dark smoky woman on the other side of the bar. I mean, like, you're like inching ever closer, like, who is she?
It would be a shame to train my whole life and not go to the Olympics.
What a redemption story. Finally.
I'm off
after
for a month.
After all these years.
I call him after 3 weeks, like, Dave, how you doing? I'm like, I'm great. Never,
finally.
Yeah. Never been better.
Finally
best
won.
Best month of my life.
I weigh 138.
Oh, man.
I'm clearly getting it now. I've tempted fate and got enough, so...
Well, I think you're going to like, I think you're Googling how best
yeah,
to get it.
Yeah, he's saying it like, oh no.
I hope I don't get it.
Guys,
where's that lettuce again?
Tell him I like him.
Where's that lettuce again?
Do not call the diarrhea parasite, okay? Do not text him.
Dave's got a pallet of heads of lettuce in the back of the Jeep. I just went bulk shopping. Well, you wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand.
And came wax few minutes past 2 p.m. Here with you for about another hour. Then we'll turn it over to the pregame and Cardinal baseball at 4:15 against the D-backs. For some reason, on my TikTok, I started getting this lady that does like etiquette. And, you know, most of them I'm like, yeah, okay, I can get down with that. And then today it was on how to properly eat a dip. And you're just a heathen. If you take your chip and dip it in the dip, you take a spoon, you spoon up a bit of dip, you put it on your plate, and then you dip from there.
Yeah.
What? Why?
Yeah, if you're sharing dip with people, that's like the right way to do it. You guys saw when we had the toasted wraps. Now, toasted wraps is a bad example, the appetizer at lunch, because I ate all of those, I think.
Right.
I don't think anybody else had a single one.
But
you pour some on the plate. Then you use that as your...
I feel like I've watched you eat dip out of the thing forever. Like when we go to Rosalita's?
He doesn't really use the salsa.
No, I don't use the salsa. Okay. I don't care for it. I like cheese dip.
There's a guy that looks a lot like you that has lunch with us.
I would go bananas. His name's Kevin. I would go bananas on the cheese dip.
But you would do the spoon?
If it was us, yeah, I would. If I was by myself, I'm just dipping out of the container. Okay. Or if I was with Megan, I would dip out of the container. Because it's like, you know, we're married, so
I'm not sure I'm understanding the problem if it's just a one dip and gone, you're not double dipping.
It's not as big of a problem, for sure.
Well, what is the problem if you don't double dip?
She didn't say.
You're getting real stretchy, getting real reachy with the communal food.
But if you're all, you know, it's just there and you just go, bleh, and eat it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not like, you know, if I saw you like dipping in the cheese sauce or whatever and not double dipping, I wouldn't be like, Kevin's a heathen.
Because, man, I did that today. I just took the toasted wrap, I picked it up, I dunked it, and I just put it in my mouth.
Yeah, I don't think there's really necessarily anything wrong with it.
Okay.
I just think it's like, when you're talking about etiquette, isn't that kind of like
next level.
Oh, and yes. Like when you're like having your tea, you got to have your pinky out, and then like which spoon is right.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're trying to make an impression.
Got it.
A little bit of...
I get what you mean. It's the show stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, the etiquette is if you're at a fancy party or something. I haven't been to too many fancy parties, but like, do they serve French onion dip there? Like, dip isn't really like a fancy app, you know?
That's a great, this is the...
We made a buffalo chicken dip in the crock pot.
Giant 70-person spinach and artichoke dip from Applebee's.
Did you guys see the young men seated behind Donald Trump last night making fun of him during his speech?
No.
Oh, you have to Google it.
Okay.
There are these three guys. One's the ringleader. The other two are just laughing. They're right behind Trump. And the ringleader, the whole speech... is doing this. Like everything that Trump would say, like if he'd say, it's the greatest. No
he's
one's
doing
ever,
the hands
no
and everything.
No one's ever seen it before. He was mouthing it and he's doing this. Like he's clearly mocking him.
Okay, but like why? You were the one who wanted to go to the speech.
No, I mean,
got, like,
maybe they did it just
seats.
To do that.
Yeah, my guess is that they're trying to get famous.
They're trying to get some sort of a career off the ground.
They probably have viral something. You know, they're probably influencers.
Yeah.
Which is it's such a bummer. Like back in the day, people would do that for the love of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy 100% has like a meme coin that's coming out.
Yes. And it's a bummer because these things did used to happen. And it wasn't, you know, people used to streak at a NFL game or whatever.
Just for the fun of it.
And now they got, you know, Kalshi spray painted on their butt or something. Yeah. And they're going to be making, $1,000 off of it.
I don't like that. I don't like that guy did that.
Disrespectful?
To a degree, but also like, this is what we are now. Like, we're just making faces behind the president.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, we all know. I'm not exactly a fan of the dude, but it's like, it doesn't make you look good when you're just acting like a 12-year-old.
Yeah, it doesn't make me go like, oh, cool.
He's like, owned it. No, it's like, okay, bro.
Your whole week around. You applied for tickets like weeks in advance. You stood in line all day. That's, doesn't seem worth it to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure he'll probably get a lot of new followers when people figure out who he is.
Oh, he'll be on CNN tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll have a TikTok that's like, so yeah, that was
that
me.
Was me. Bill Maher made a good point to people like me. He said if you are spending any time at all thinking about the reflecting pool, the ballroom, or Trump's overall personality, then that's on you. It's not on the president anymore. It's been 10 years. Get over it.
All right. Say that again.
That he only cares about Trump on things like the Iranian war. He doesn't care about the reflecting pool. He doesn't care if he knocks down the ballroom. He certainly doesn't care about his daily antics and just, you know, the president being the president. And that if any of us still do, if we still get mad about that, that it's our fault and we need to be better.
That's a pretty dumb take.
Well, he's an idiot.
And also, Bill Maher is entirely about himself. Because anything that bothers him, he's going to complain about it. But if it bothers something bothers someone else, he's like, your complaint's not as valid as my complaint because I'm smarter than you dummies. I think he makes some good points on a regular basis. I also think he's one of the most egocentric human beings on the planet who only cares about what he cares about. And he will happily tell you that the thing you care about doesn't matter, but the thing he cares about does matter.
I feel like I understand what he's trying to say, but he's putting it really inartfully. Because to say, like, oh, it's on you. Like, no, I'm not the one doing it. I am used to it after 10 years. Like, I've said on this show many times, I don't get surprised anymore when the president says something nasty about women or, you know, yells at a journalist or just any of this stuff. It doesn't really move my meter because it just falls into normal behavior for him. This is what I've grown to expect to see. But to say, like, if you allow that to bother you, it's your fault. I mean, would you say that if there was, like, a child at your child's school, bullying your child, like, well, you knew they were going to bully your kid, so at this point, if it bothers
why
you,
why are you still mad
you.
About
like,
it?
It is, it's still pretty victim-blaming to be like, you're actually the problem. It's like, well, I mean, I would argue that the behavior is the problem. The behavior is a problem.
I mean, I agree with the idea that the more important things are more important. I think we can all agree with that,
100%.
Right? 100%. But it doesn't mean that everyone should just be like, ah, that's just Donald being Donald when he's blaming other people and accusing other people of crimes for things that he and his dumb friends did. Like the reflecting pool. You and your dumb friends ruined it. And now you got to be like, nope, it's everyone else and we're pressing charges. Dude, that's not... Nobody should be like, yep, that's okay. Just ignore it. It's no big deal.
Barry says, at some point you have to live your best life and mostly worry about what you can control. I do agree with that. Maybe it's hard to take this advice from Bill Maher because he recently had dinner with the president. It's like, you're telling me to just like get over
it? Yeah, but see, like he's the guy that will go on a rant about, why do people need to bring their kids everywhere? Because you can't go anywhere without your kids when you have kids, dummy. Just because you don't have them and don't care about it doesn't mean everybody else has got to follow along. But you're going to sit there and complain about it. Take your own advice. Don't complain about it. You'll be better off. It's the hypocrisy for Maher to me that annoys me. It's not so much what he's saying. Because, again, he's the first guy to complain about anything that chaps his own butt. But if it bothers someone else and not him, well, then that thing's just not valid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you summed it up right there. Mm-hmm. That's why I've been not such a fan over the years.
Take a hard left turn here. Andrew, you want to talk about hazard lights downtown?
Yeah, okay. So I know we talk about this like once a week, but I can't stop myself from talking about it when it happens. It happened to me like three. So I came down here, got some stuff done before we went to lunch today. So it's not far from here to if you're downtown, you're really just getting on 64. So you don't have to go a huge distance. I encountered three cars that were stopped in the middle of the lane with their hazard lights on, just completely stopped. One of them stopped right as I was trying to go past City Hall. One of them stopped right in front of me, put the hazard lights on. Lady hops out the driver's side door and just skitters off towards City Hall. Yeah. I don't know what it is about specifically downtown St. Louis where everyone who exists in that space thinks that their hazard lights are a create free parking space button. Like, all I have to do is, hey, my hazard lights are on. I can do whatever I want. I can literally stop in the middle of the far right lane on Tucker and just stop dead and leave my car there and park while I go conduct whatever it is I'm conducting at City Hall. Yeah. I've hit the create free parking space button.
Yeah. And the thing that's the worst about it is... Well, there's a lot of things that are worst about it. The almost starting accidents is the worst part of it. But how hard is it to just circle the block and pull off to a curb? How hard is that? It'll take you 30 seconds to do it. But that 30 seconds is so important to you that you're going to risk other people being involved in a car accident because you're doing something stupid.
If I were the mayor, you know what we're doing with that Rams money? I am hiring a small fleet of tow trucks that just circle downtown, just up and down the roads.
Always
and
moving.
If we see you stop there with your hazard lights on and you're not in the car, you're out of here, bud.
Well, see, this is why I think it's not about downtown. It's about the people. Because there's nothing about if I change cities or if I go from Wheeler's house to my house or what, I don't think like new rules. I think it's just that downtown has a bunch of people.
No, I disagree. It's because it's downtown. Those same people aren't going to do that in Clayton.
No, because they're
going to
get a ticket.
Exactly. They do it downtown because you can do it downtown.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
They take full advantage of the fact that there's nothing down here to deter you from doing
it. We could all do this. We just choose not to because we have basic decency.
Yes.
But they're doing it because there's no consequence for doing it. It's just like last week, we were talking about the people who park in the turn lane so they can go eat at KFC.
Yep.
When have you ever seen anyone get a ticket?
Never.
But it's allowed.
Because we don't patrol downtown.
Jill saying, are those delivery people? Sounds kind of like how mail truck operates. No.
No, they're not.
They're not.
They're normies in normal cars.
You're being too kind and empathetic. No, these people do not deserve the kindness and empathy.
They are
worse than criminals.
Yeah, it's the simplest thing. They know there are not going to be any consequences, and they don't care about anyone else. I'm going to do what's best for me because I know there won't be a consequence.
But yeah, I don't agree that it's like, and you only find that type of person in downtown St. Louis. Like, no, it's just that type of person knows that downtown St. Louis is a safe space yes. for them to behave however they'd like.
You know, another big one is the completely unannounced U-turn in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I've made U-turns. But if I'm going to do it, I'm going to make sure it's safe. I'm going to make sure the guy behind me knows I'm going to do it. And then people will just, it happened to me this morning, coming down Market, just like, whoop, just gone.
It's Gotham City down here, man.
It's almost like in other parts of the region, there are deterrents to these behaviors. And maybe we could adopt some of those strategies.
Yeah. That was a weird giggle, wasn't it? Tell you guys about... Welcome back, guys. DJ Hassan, KMOX 223. Just to kind of put a period at the end of the sentence, so we're just talking about downtown and cars and people being idiots. And we started because we're down here every day, and I've been down here every day since 1990 when I started working at the old Boatman's Bank Tower when I was a lawyer. And Wheels found a website that tells you how the city police are staffed. And evidently, there are supposed to be between 8 and 10 patrol cars downtown at any given time, right?
That's what it said.
What a joke.
Sorry, it might have said between 5 and 10, but whatever.
I mean, here's the truth. I'm here literally 5 days a week, sometimes 6 when I go to a Cardinals game or something during the summer. I might see a police car patrolling that it's not like parked at, you know, the downtown, you know, there's a bunch of police cars. I might see a police car, I want to be realistic, every other day. But there are many, many days that you don't see one at all. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I don't see this as a knock on police officers or the way they're doing.
They don't
have the numbers.
As far as I know, they don't decide, like, right. Oh, I'm not going to go out today.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a policy thing or a staffing thing. And again, it only becomes a story when someone gets hurt.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I haven't had a really big thing downtown lately, right? But, like, it's not that we don't see all of these incidents that could turn into that. With what, I mean, you know, the U-turns, running red lights, parking where you're not supposed to park, driving in the bicycle lane. People are literally driving. It's a divided lane. It's got a barrier, and people are driving in the bicycle lane. And I can't, I mean, have you, I mean, I may be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know that I can ever think of seeing someone pulled over downtown St. Louis.
Oh, it's a good one.
Like pulled over to the curb with a police car there writing a ticket. I can't recall ever seeing it. It doesn't mean it's never happened. Just saying I haven't seen it. And I'm down here 5 days a week.
Yeah. Look what you started, Andrew.
Good job.
I know. I've actually been pulled over downtown.
Have you?
For the plates. Yeah, back in 2021.
Okay.
I got pulled over in front. It was actually a terrible experience. I got pulled over in front of this building, blocking the entrance.
Oh, no.
And
I tried to reason with the cop, like, hey, can we just follow me in? I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to go right to that spot right there. Follow right behind me. I just need to get out of the way. Yeah. People are trying to get home. They're trying to get to work.
Yeah.
And he, like, screamed at me, and he threatened to.
Well, what else happened?
Well, he said, stay in the car. Do not get out of the car for any reason. And I got out of the car to tell him, dude, we gotta get out. I have to move this car. And he got increasingly mad, and he touched his gun. He didn't pull it. He touched it. Put his hand on it.
What it's kind of a key part of the story. He's like, he was so mad at me for whatever reason. It's like, well, you don't leave your car during a traffic stop.
When they say
stop.
Stay there, you stay there.
He was stressing me out.
It doesn't matter. You stay there.
I also wanted to know why he cared so much about my out-of-state expired license plate. It's not his tax money that get affected.
That always goes over well with cops, too.
Yeah. Why do you even care? I'm sure that was really well-received.
Well, he was like, okay, he didn't handle it the most professional officer way either. There was a lot of like, I don't care.
Well,
yeah.
Remember, were you in the car?
I bring the best out of people.
Were you in the car when we got pulled over by that cop who was a fan of the show?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I think that was like close.
I was going to say, I think it was close.
Yeah. It's the only time I've been pulled over.
Because it was close because Close was really, really mad about it.
Yeah, he was mad.
He was furious. Yeah. Because he was like, you're finally going to get what you deserve for driving like that. And then the cop pulled up and he goes, Oh my God, hey. Mr. Dave Glover, it's a pleasure to meet you. Close was like, oh my God.
Hi, Dave, I get it.
It was basically like that.
I forgot about that. Oh my God, I love that story so much.
He apologized.
That's right. And Close was like, Close was like, do not apologize to him.
And he literally said that to the cop. He goes, don't apologize. Don't apologize to him.
I love that story.
I probably could have had Close arrested.
You should have. You should have said, hey, could you take care of this guy for me?
On KMOX. Dave Murray joins us, brought to you by the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Center. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. Andrew, pay attention. Right now, you get stopped. Hands on the wheel or on your dashboard. Always visible. Never get out of the car and always be polite. Three things to always remember. I don't care if you think you were right or wrong. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. You're lucky your butt wasn't pulled in.
Everybody got to cry about it.
It's for your own safety, really.
I mean,
yeah.
You know
it's
what I mean?
For everybody's safety. Being polite will be amazing to you of what you can get out of.
Yeah. And you can always, whatever you're dealing with, you can deal with in court.
I want to make something clear. I've been pulled over many times. I am very polite and kind to police officers, so everyone can
good. All the time.
Dave Hines can take a deep friggin' breath because no one asked him anyway. So I had one bad experience with a cop one time in downtown St. Louis, and that's kind of the point that I was getting at. I am very kind to everyone that I come across, and Dave is correct. You can get out of a lot of things by being nice.
Yes.
I remember one time, I've told this story before, I won't tell the whole story, but right before graduating law school, I was at a bar, I was at Off-Broadway, and my friend punched a hole in the wall, and they called the cops, and they locked the door and made us stay, and the cops showed up, and I was talking to this probably 55-year-old, gigantic, white, kind of fat cop. And I was just, you know, I'm 2 weeks from graduating from law school. And I'm like, this is false imprisonment and blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to own this place. Hey, you cop, you drink for free because I'm wasted. And he pulls his billy club out.
Ooh.
And he lays it on my forehead. And he says, I'm so sick of you. He said, if you say one more thing, I'm going to split your wig. And I had a wig.
He said,
so,
how did
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, I'm like, no, it's that obvious. But talk about going from 60 to zero. I was just like, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, when he touched the gun, I got back in the car. I didn't.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Right. I didn't advance on him.
Right.
It's when he touched the gun, I was like, all right, fine.
And I'm not sitting here saying, like, you are so rude. I'm just saying, like, dude, for your own safety, you gotta.
Yeah, no, I was not trying to make him look like the bad guy here. I did not handle the situation as well. I mean, he didn't handle it perfectly, but neither did I, for sure.
My favorite story was a long time ago, Monday Night Football, driving from the old station, which was by the arena, the old arena, and still the arena, I guess, and although it got blown up. And I'm driving home. It was after Monday Night Football. It was probably 1 o'clock in the morning, one of our favorite nights of doing late news. And nobody on the road, and I was speeding. There's no question I was speeding. Going home, I was probably doing 80 on 40, probably, maybe a little higher. And I had personalized plates. And you know the police know your car.
Was it
Storm 2?
Oh, I was going to say Thunder Storm Lightning. 2. I was almost right.
Dr.
Badass.
that the police know your car. They know your car.
It's in Wild Intentions.
He's trying to tell a story.
Yeah, it's in Wild Intentions, like our 80s band.
So I get lit up. I get lit up basically at 40 and, by Brentwood on 40 in that area. And I'm like, oh, no. Because I look down at the speedometer and I'm like, I'm screwed. I'm just screwed. And I pull over. Police pull over, put the big spotlight on. And all of a sudden, I just hear his intercom. He never gets out of the car. He goes, Dave, slow it down. Now get out of here.
Wow.
That guy's awesome.
That's pretty great.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah. I like that. I'll send you a message, TV guy.
That's right.
What did he do when he got out of the car and walked towards him? did he get mad?
Why do you think Dave was giving you the advice he did?
That's right.
He learned the hard way.
Exactly.
What I have learned is that I need a license plate that says, I'm Dave Murray.
But in the car you're driving, they would know instantly it's not.
Wow.
Oh,
ouch. He doesn't know this. I have a nice car now.
Oh, yeah.
He got a new car.
Yes.
Yeah, I got an Equinox.
All right. No rats.
No, I don't want to say no rats.
They've graduated from mice to rats now.
I don't know about no rats. Definitely less rats.
You never want to, never say
spiders?
Never.
No.
Exactly.
No. You got any spiders in there?
You know what? It is the damnedest thing. I found a huge spider in that car like 3 days ago.
Are you bringing them in on your body?
No, my neighborhood is really lousy with spiders. My neighborhood's really lousy with spiders. We have tons and tons of spiders. We try to treat for spiders and stuff, and it just doesn't. They're stronger than the treatment. I think we're turning them into mutants. We've got a bunch of Spider-Man mice and spiders crawling around, and they will get in like through the cracks in the door and stuff.
Jeez. Your life. I swear.
I know.
Between the late night acting drunk at Casey's and the hammock and the mice in the bags, like
I'm so sick of that hammock. I got it. The thing is, we can't get rid of the hammock because the hammock has become the cat-free safe space because the cat's terrified of the hammock. She won't go on it. She won't go near it.
Okay.
So if we need to keep something safe from her, like messing with it, like we can't keep our getting ready for like tax season, we couldn't keep the documents anywhere because she loves to like rip up and bite paper because she's a little goblin.
So you keep your tax documents in a hammock.
In the hammock, because that's become like the cat free zone.
You don't have a drawer?
Well, it's easy to forget.
File.
Drawers are full of spiders. I don't know what to tell you.
Drawers are full of spiders. Cabinets full of mice. So all we got is a hammock.
And the mice eat the paper too. So
And so well, it's easy to like forget where stuff is. If you put it in a drawer, like out of sight, out of mind. So you want to keep it in an important place.
Who would think you'd look for important stuff in a drawer?
No, the important stuff now has to go in the stupid hammock.
I mean, in fairness,
so tired of that thing taking up half my living room.
In fairness, if someone was trying to rip your stuff off, they would definitely not think to look in a hammock.
They wouldn't look in the hammock.
Right.
I'm sorry to especially keep if it's asking a cat burglar. About this, but is there any indication of why Gigi is so terrified of the hammock?
Trying to think of a joke, but I can't come up with one.
Pretty good guess would be she tried jumping on it once and it moved and scared her.
Yeah, she won't. So I have like a rocking recliner kind of thing. That's where I sit usually.
Everyone's got a picture in their head right now.
She won't go up. It's just like a big Lazy Boy recliner. She won't go up on that because any movement.
She wants the stability.
Yeah, it just freaks her out and she runs off.
What's in the hammock as we speak?
Lots of stuff. Well, my winter coat is in there because it ended up there
now
at
it's
one
a
point
closet.
When I was. Now it's a closet because I was looking for other stuff in a closet and I put that on there and then there it remained.
So no one lays in it anymore.
No, that thing hasn't been laid in probably
are there corn dogs
year and a half
corn dogs.
And so it's mostly just like important documents that we need, or you know,
like you do,
yeah, like or winter coat.
The nuclear footballs there.
You always need one of those.
I've been digging up stuff that I'm selling, and so some of that stuff is in there because I know that that's like a safe, soft place to keep it. And then I put the coat over it to protect it from sun damage.
Sun damage?
And spiders.
Yeah, something's going to be in there for like an extended period of time. Sun comes through the window, you could have some sun damage on it.
To documents?
To documents. He's talking about the things he's about to sell. Like,
cards,
I bet he got some collectibles.
Collectibles. Yeah. Okay. Video game cases, things like that. You want to keep those safe from Sunday.
I'm sorry, just to drill down, put it in the drawer, forget it forever, put it under coat in hammock. I know exactly where it is.
I know exactly where it is. It's in the hammock. AKA the bane of my existence, and also kind of the most important thing in the house at this point. I think I got to go before the hammock does. I don't have all the budget books and tax documents. That belongs to the hammock.
I got to tell you, everyone in this show will be fired before Andrew. Like, how do you give this up? You can't just go find an Andrew.
This is the exact same conversation I had with my wife yesterday. I'm like, we got the hammock's got to go.
Yesterday.
I'm like, hammock's got to go. She's like, we can't give up the hammock. How do you give up the hammock?
She's pro hammock.
No, she's ready for the hammock to be. I'm just kidding. She's ready for the hammock to be gone, too. It takes up so much space. And you know what?
From
an interior decorating standpoint, let me tell you, it don't look the best.
The feng shui.
Having a giant hammock in the middle of the living room. There's a reason not everyone does this. When I brought it in, I was like, why doesn't everyone do this? I figured out pretty quick why everyone doesn't. Go on.
Yeah, the only ones you did was Skipper and Gilligan. So, paint a picture. You walk through your front door. Mm-hmm. Where's the hammock?
Immediately to your left.
Okay.
You are practically stubbing your toe on the hammock base.
First stop, Hammock Town.
Yes. If you step into my front door and do like a sideways flop jump, you will land up into the hammock.
Which would be bad, right? Because all the important documents are there.
Crunchy.
Yeah, and I would hate for you to crush all of my tax documents.
My valuables.
And cash filings.
Jewelry.
Yeah, I would hate for you.
Collectibles. It's got to be a big hammock.
Sterling silver pocket watches. Really anything of value.
There's guys listening right now. Hey, Andrew's house, easy. We know exactly where the hammock
is.
No
kidding.
Just takes two of us.
All you got to do is
on each
unhook
end,
each
out
end
we
and you
go,
got a bag.
Yeah.
It's tailor-made for burglars.
You know what? Whatever they would get, I will just pay them for taking the hammock, so it really kind of washes
off. All right,
it really kind of, as long as they take the hammock too.
Did we do the weather?
No,
we have not.
Not a bit.
Well, let's do it really quick. Beautiful again today. Tomorrow more unsettled, kind of a changeable sky. There will be scattered showers and thunderstorms around, especially during the afternoon. It's not a severe setup. Could be some heavy downpours of rain, though, as we go through the afternoon into the evening. 70s to near 80 degrees. We may not touch 80 degrees tomorrow. Scattered showers and thunderstorms around Friday night. Again, nothing severe. 68. Saturday, partly sunny for the most part. There could be a couple of leftover showers first thing in the morning, but I don't think there will be much. It's warmer. It's more humid. 89 degrees. Sunday, sunny, hot, and humid. 96. Would not be surprised if we hit 100 degrees on Monday.
Oof.
There you go.
All right.
Question. I've asked things like this before, but, you know, I'm always concerned because my air conditioner is old. If I turn it off tonight or tomorrow and enjoy, you know, the Saturday, and then I turn it back on, is it better just to leave it on, like as far as like damage and wear and tear to the air conditioner?
I don't know the answer to that. You know, I do know who you could call is Saliga Heating and Cooling.
There you go.
Look at him. He's the best.
There you go.
He's the best.
Saliga would know. I turned my AC off last night.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I can ask my dad if you want. He used to do that for a living.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
I'll ask him tonight.
Very nice. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty.
DGS and Camo Wax, a few minutes shy of 3 p.m. We will sign off at 3:15 and turn you over to the Cardinals pregame. And then the game is at 4:15. Can I say something? Yeah. We are really good at doing 1 and 2 hour shows.
I know. I was just thinking that.
I think we've discovered our whole thing.
I was just thinking that.
Counterpoint. We're also pretty good at 4 hour shows. I think better than most.
He's not wrong, but there's just something magic about getting to go home after 2 hours.
Yeah, it's like early release at school. You know, halfway through the day, you're like, ah, this is better.
It does kind of feel like field trip day.
Yeah.
Like we went out, we had that delicious lunch. Dave took us out for delicious lunch, got us some treats at Missouri Baking Company, and then we just had to come back here and just do 2 hours. Feels like a field trip day.
Mm. It is a field trip day. Let's call it field trip day. Our field trip was to the hill.
What a lunch that was.
So pretty good.
My ravioli was so good. You guys didn't comment on the sauce.
Well, yeah, we did.
What?
We all said it was good.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
If I didn't say it, I intended to say that is like the best sauce. I think I didn't comment on the sauce because I was unbelievably jealous that I hadn't ordered that. Because as soon as all of our food, like mine was delicious, but like the short rib ravioli thing and the cream was so like over the top.
Dude, it was yeah, we should have so known. Good.
Like next level delicious.
Well, like, but then I was like, oh, maybe they didn't like it as much as me, but.
No, it was unbelievable.
Going around the internet in a zombie apocalypse, who do you want as your companion? And this isn't like your spouse or your kids. It's like what job guy do you want?
Mm.
Do you want a doctor? Do you want an MMA fighter?
I think a doctor.
Survival expert.
Doctor would be good. I definitely think, as Kevin's saying, I'm trying to think like more practically. Like maybe somebody
like a hunter might be the best. Like if I had to pick specifics,
hunter would be great. Even something like electrician or something to make sure that we can keep power on, stuff like that.
Yeah,
I mean, I know an electrician doesn't create electricity, but like you know, maybe they'd know the tricks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely would go with the survivalist / hunter because I don't have those skills, and I would want someone that has skills I don't have, because then you can kind of you know be a team.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, the end of the world is clearly here. ESPN's Pat McAfee has announced his debut country album.
Oh. I don't really know anything about old Pat.
You're better off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
There's part of me that's okay with him, and there's part of me that hates something things about him, because he's not all one thing. But he's a lot.
He's enough of the one
he's
thing
a lot
that
of
ruins
everything,
anything
and I
else
get,
he has.
I yes. get why people don't get it. I don't watch his shows because it's not my style of thing. They're too much, you know.
Yeah, people yell about sports and so don't like you.
No, that's the problem. They don't. They jack around. That's all they do.
Ooh, his album is titled The Diary of a Polarizing Figure.
Yeah.
Woo.
That's kind of fun.
Way to go. In other entertainment news, I hope you guys haven't heard this yet. I want to be the one to tell you. Elon Musk promises to invest $100 million to yes. create a true Odyssey film through Grok Imagine, a full-length movie of the Odyssey that is historically accurate and true to the art of Homer.
I thought he was also going to pay Mel Gibson to be creatively involved.
Someone suggested that.
Okay.
And he said, like, great idea, but he didn't commit to it, so.
Have fun. Why not? Go ahead and do it, Elon. You've got $100 million.
So I would love to know what a historically accurate Cyclops looks like. Historically accurate for fiction is pretty hilarious. Like, I want a historically accurate Lord of the Rings. It's not historically accurate, just accurate to the story.
Did you guys see Andy Serkis's comments about Lord of the Rings recently? Did you see this, Andrew?
I didn't.
No, I don't think so.
Because he was asked about how Lord of the Rings has been criticized for not being diverse enough. And he was like, yeah, I think we just have to take that criticism. Like, we're not just going to like shoehorn in something.
It was just how the story was written when it was written.
Right. It was just interesting, like, for him to have that take. I don't know. Obviously, my take on it is quite half-baked, but...
No, I think that is really interesting, because he has become, in a lot of ways, very much like the steward of the franchise. There's a really excellent series of audiobooks that was released a couple of years ago that's fully narrated by him. Obviously, he's got a massive hand in this Gollum movie that's coming out and the future movies and stuff. So it's interesting to hear someone who has sort of become the de facto steward of what Lord of the Rings is in 2026.
Yeah.
and just be like, yeah, you know what? It is what it is. It's an adaptation of something that was, you know, 75 years ago or whatever at this point. Like, if it's not diverse enough, that's a great point. But it is what it is.
It's the story.